and excited as you leave this church. You know, it's so easy to get beat down with everything you're hearing in the media. So hopefully get a little bit of taste of encouragement here at Grace Baptist. All right, Psalm 148, verses 7 to 13. And when you found it, if you could, would you please stand? Psalm 148, verses 7 to 13. And God's Word says, beginning in verse 7, "Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy and wind fulfilling His Word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heavens." And tonight I want to preach on the simple thought and exercise of praise. An exercise of praise. Have a word of prayer and you can be seated. Father, I love you and thank you, Lord. God, I thank you for church. I thank you for the church house. I thank you, Father, for the privilege we have to worship you and spend time with you, Lord. I believe I'll be the first to admit I take it for granted. I take it for granted the church house is open, but I'm thankful for it. Lord, help us never to lose sight of the importance and the need for church and to worship you. I pray this message to help the God's people tonight. I pray they get encouraged, Lord. I desperately need your help, Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would just do a work in the hearts tonight. Bless God's people. Help us to leave here knowing we are children of the King. And we know you're still on the throne. We love you and thank you. Now, all else we ask in your name, amen. God bless you, folks. You can be seated. All right. Okay. The three final chapters in this book of Psalms, this chapter, Psalm 149 and Psalm 150, all mainly deal with the matter of praising God. If you look at these verses here in Psalm 148, from verses 7 to 13, you'll read that God mentions everything on this planet is supposed to praise God. Everything on this list we're going to go over in these verses will and does praise the Lord. If you look at verse 13, the last verse we looked at here this evening, it says, "Let them praise the name of the Lord," referring to the things that were mentioned before. "For His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven." So who are the them? Let me go over these again in verses 7 to 13. He mentions the animals in the verses we read here tonight. Those on land and those on water. He mentions the landscape, the mountains, the trees, the vegetation in the verses we read. So all nature is to praise the Lord. I think of Psalm chapter 50 and verse 6, which says this, "And the heavens shall declare His righteousness, for God is judge Himself." The heavens shall declare His righteousness. Another verse to show you is Psalm 104. Psalm 104, verses 24 to 28, talking about, again, praising God, the earth, or the parts of the earth, or the a part of the universe, praising the Lord. Psalm 104, verse 24 to 28 says this, "O Lord, how manifold are Thy works, and wisdom hast Thou made them all. The earth is full of Thy riches. So is the great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships, there is that Leviathan, whom Thou hast made to play therein. These weigh all upon Thee, that Thou mayest give them their meat in due season, that Thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest Thine hand, they are filled with goods." We see God controls these sea, the animals, and they praise His name. He also mentions back to Psalm 148, he mentions that all the people, we saw in verse 12 of Psalm 148, both young men and maidens, old men and children, are going to praise the Lord. I think all of us fit somewhere in that category, between old and young, of praising God. I'm sure we'll come back to it again two chapters from now, but in Psalm 150, one of my favorite verses, Psalm 150 verse 6 says this, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." Praise ye the Lord. Now, I was going to have you all breathe in and breathe out, but I was breathing on each other and passing germs, so we're just pretend we won't do that. But we know we have to praise God. Amen. So if you can breathe tonight, you are praising the Lord. So just I'm trying to be kind of light to keep you excited and upbeat. But again, so we see everything needs to praise God. But he mentions in Psalm 148 one more item that praises God. And for some people, it might be hard to grasp. And this is kind of the whole gist of the message. Look at verse 8, if you would. Psalm 148, verse 8. Fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Again, that fits in one of those them back in verse 13 that praises God. The fire praises God. The hail praises God. The snow praises God. The vapors or smoke praises God. Stormy wind fulfilling his word praises God. If you look at these, I refer to these as the elements of nature. The fire, the hail, the snow, the vapors, the stormy wind, all these elements, listen, all these elements usually in great quantity can bring harm and destruction, especially the fire, especially the hail, especially the stormy wind, like the tornadoes, things of that nature. And yet, these elements that can bring destruction, they do two things. Number one, they fulfill God's word. I mean, they do what God tells them to do. Look at the stormy wind again in verse 8. Stormy wind fulfilling his word. These things fulfill God's word, meaning God's in control of them. And he controls those things that in a lot of us would put in the box or the perspective or the mindset of bringing harm or destruction. Go to Job 37, verse 14 and 18. Job 37. Keep your finger in Psalm 148. Back one book. Job 37, verse 14 and 18. So these elements, as I refer to them, they fulfill God's word, meaning he controls them or they do what he wants them to do. Job 37, verse 14 to 18. This is when God's talking to Job. Kind of say, Job, let me explain to you how amazing I am. Pretty much God's, and in verse 14, he says, "Hearken unto this, O Job, stand still and consider this wondrous works of God. Dost thou know when God, Elihu is talking. Job is not talking. I apologize. I take that back. Elihu's talking. In verse 14. Hearken unto this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Dost thou know when God disposed them and caused the light of his clouds to shine? Dost thou know the balancing of the clouds, the wondrous works of him which is perfect in knowledge? How thy garments are warm, and he quieteth the earth by the south wind. Hast thou with him spread out the sky, which is strong and as a molten's looking glass?" Folks, go outside on a sunny day and look as far left and right in the sky as you can. It goes forever. And imagine and understand the fact that God controls all of that. All of it. And then as we saw in the context of Psalm 148, that stormy wind, those big storms, he controls that too. So we see these elements of nature, they fulfill his word. The second thing I want to point out is they bring praise to God. Because we mentioned these are one of the things that fall in the part of the them in verse 13. They bring praise to God. Now, the point I'm trying to make is that things that bring harm and destruction in nature, they praise God's name. Why? Why? You say, Pastor, how could something that brings destruction praise God's name? Because, as I put it, he's in control of them. It shows his power. How amazing he is. And you can, and I believe, putting in context what's going on around us in this our world we live in, I believe you can make an application, but you can put disease in that realm as well of things that bring harm and destruction, like the coronavirus, and also bring praise to God. This is where some might say, Pastor, how in the world does the coronavirus bring praise to the Lord? So let me give you two thoughts. Or if I can be more general, how do destructive things, elements of nature or disease, bring praise to God? Let me give you a couple thoughts. Number one, these things bring praise to God because they are subject to God. Or God controls them. They're subject to God. Go to Mark chapter 4, verse 36 to 38. Mark chapter 4, verse 36 to 38. And by the way, folks, these things have helped me tremendously. Helped me tremendously. I'm not saying I'm coming to you as someone who is, chewing my fingernails off in fear and panic. I'm not saying that's how I've been acting. Well, these have been a reminder of a couple things to help us. I think these verses I'm going to give you tonight might be something you want to put in your back pocket or circle or memorized, because if things go, you know, more out of control, these are going to be things you can come back to help keep you calm. Mark chapter 4, verse 36 to 38. It says this. And when they had sent away the multitudes, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. Verse 38. And he, Jesus Christ, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Okay. So here's a storm going on. Most know the story. A storm is taking place. Disciples are in a ship with Jesus Christ. The storm was so severe, as I just kind of paused on purpose, that the water was coming into the boat to the point that it was full of water. I gave an illustration several Wednesday nights ago about being canoeing with a bunch of teenage boys up in the Adirondacks. The suicide mission, praise the Lord. You give a bunch of teenage boys a paddle and canoe, they'll go in circles for hours, and they'll love it. It'll drive me crazy, amen. But anyway, another story. I remember a couple of those boys had no idea how to paddle. They used their rows like cups to put water into their canoe. Half hour later, their canoe is completely immersed in water. They're going down, sink, sink, sink. So amen. So most of you know, I'm kind of being silly there, but most of you know, when you get the thing of a ship full or a boat full enough with water, it's going to start to sink or not going to operate as it should. And this is going on here. It's not, things aren't going well for these disciples. And if you will, their well-being was certainly jeopardized, or at least it appeared that way to them anyway. Jesus Christ is asleep during the storm, and the disciples, they wake him up. And at the end of verse 38, they ask a question. Carest thou not that we perish? Now, let me say this, folks. I believe that type of phrase or that mentality is already being asked all across this world today. Many people aren't saying, God, care not that we perish. But many people are asking questions like, God, why are you allowing this disease into our country? I think of Italy, how horrible the death rate is in there. Situations going on in that situation. God, don't you care for us and our well-being? God, would you please stop this now? People are asking questions similar in nature, where disciples are saying, carest thou not we perish? Now, look at verse 39. And this is one of the greatest verses, folks, that you want to hang on to. He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased. It was a great calm. Folks, he controls the storms. He can control our diseases. He healeth all diseases. I mentioned that on Sunday morning. I mentioned that Sunday night. This is the God we serve, my friend. I know you know this. I know you know this. I know you've seen it a thousand times. Some of you can probably quote this whole story to me and probably preach a better thought here than I could, I'm sure. But the point I'm trying to make is we understand that the fact that what God, Jesus Christ did back then, God can still do it again today, my friend. He is still in control. The disease, the elements are subject to him. Don't forget that. Please. Don't forget that. I don't know what's going to happen going forward. But what I do know, for 100% certainty, that God is in control of this completely. You hear that? Let me challenge you with this. Look at verse 40. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? It kind of puts his story a little bit into a different perspective, doesn't it? Everything going on. How is it that ye have no faith? I just sat there. I looked at the verse like for 5 minutes, stared at it. Just, Lord, I hope this is, Lord, this could, if this is me, please help me not to get to this spot. And if I do, help me to remember that you're in control. Because I'm human like the rest of us. Are we still going to trust him through this? Because that's what he said. He said, why don't you trust me? Why? Well, listen. Why are you so afraid? It's like almost. And maybe I'm speculating. Forgive me if I'm reading too much into the verse. But almost like Jesus Christ, he asked with concern and doubt, like almost like I'm confused. Why are you even afraid? Don't you know I'm in the ship with you? Hey, listen. Hey, if they mandate to shut churches down and a shutdown state, I read about Nevada being shut down. I read about, there's a bunch of states. Ohio shut down. A bunch of states are shut down. And more might happen shut down. And when we talk shut down, it's everything but just the necessities are shut down. If that is to happen and it's mandated, hey, listen, and we result about we have to go to looking at watching sermons on our PCs or tablets at home, and things are completely different in this state, and maybe you can't leave your house. I'm not trying to be gloom and doom. Don't misunderstand me. But if things like that are to happen, will we keep trusting God? It's really a great passage to hold on to. On a side note, let me say this to you. I mentioned since we're talking about tablets and watching the sermons online, if it does shut down, and I encourage you folks to go on the internet and watch the messages. I encourage you, watch the Sunday morning message at 11 a.m. Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and Wednesday night at 6:30. Why? It keeps you in the habit, and therefore when it comes back around, Satan won't use a foothold to get you out. You're still keeping that schedule. Hey, let me ask you, my friend. When we see all this weirdness and things going on around us, will you stay in your Bibles? Will you doubt, or will you start doubting God and start coming out of that practice of reading your Bible? Well, God, you can't help. Disciples were there. A boatload of water coming in. They're screaming for Jesus Christ, and he just says three words, "Peace be still." And then he says to him, why are you afraid? And I'm not trying to do one of these things to you. Believe me, I'm on the same ship you're in. That's what's going on here in this story, in this situation. Listen, my friend, the reason they were so fearful was because, listen, they saw the water pouring into the boat. They were focusing on the problem instead of focusing on the God of the problem. I know it's a great bumper sticker. We've seen that in wonderful, many churches have stuff like that in a nice frame, but it's true. It's true. Stop looking at the problem. I know, hey, listen, if you read the paper long enough, if you get in the 5 o'clock news long enough, if you hang around the negative crowd long enough, you're going to start doubting and fearful yourself. But look, hey, get in the place where you trust God. Get in verses like this. Hey, read what Jesus Christ did. He can do it again. He can do it again. We can focus on the media telling us the increasing number are dead. We can focus on the states becoming more and more like ghost towns. Or we can keep our focus on God and trust that He will see us through. Because the last time I checked, my friend, God is with us through the storm. He's in control of the storm. Amen! Praise the Lord. It feels good. Say amen! Hey, it feels good. Tell you what. Amen. I'm going to charge coronavirus circum with my mask on. Praise the Lord. Careful what I say. All right. So we know, number one, these harmful elements, how do they bring praise to God? They're subject to God. He's in control. Number two, last thought. These harmful elements bring praise to God because they cannot exceed God's hand of protection. They cannot exceed God's hand of protection. Let me take you to a story. Ever since this whole thing started coming more into our shores, this story I'm reading here in a second has been on my mind constantly. Go to James 5, verse 17, if you would. So number two, these harmful elements bring praise to God because they cannot exceed God's hand of protection. James 5, 17. This is what God gave me probably about a week ago, or whenever this whole thing was really getting more close to home. says this. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Now, you understand when this storm first started surfacing in the news, and it started to get more severe to the point it was affecting our daily lives, this is when my mind immediately went to this story. Now, I know you might think, Pastor, I don't see the correlation. Some of you do, but maybe some of you don't. This is not about some disease, Brother Munkowski. What do you mean? But listen, it's a story, a real-life story, that about an issue that is negative in nature and affected everybody. It just hit me. Yeah. Everyone was affected. Everybody was affected. The whole country was affected, good and bad. Elijah was affected. The 7,000 people who wouldn't bow to Baal, they were affected. I'm not saying his name wrong, I'm sure. But I'm getting some trouble here. Obadiah. Ahab's vice president, second man on Ahab. He was a godly man. He was affected. The point is, listen, although this issue wasn't about disease, it was an issue where everyone was affected and everyone was going through a difficult time. It caused hardship. None of us can even begin to fathom the ramifications that would have taken place if there was no rain for 3.5 years. Imagine. No rain for 3.5 years. There was no food because of the rain. Look, we're at Walmart yesterday. Some of you know where I'm going with this. Walmart yesterday, Hadley says, "Dad, let's make spaghetti." Where's the spaghetti? It's all gone. All it was whole wheat penne. We actually ate healthy last night, praise the Lord. But look, and then we had that and everything else, and there's no spaghetti. There was no milk yesterday, so we got chocolate milk. Like my kids loved it, and my mom had some 2% that she wasn't dealing with, and so praise the Lord for that. But anyway, there were no other food products. Today I went and looked for bread. The kids need bread. If any of you folks want my kids, please take them. They're eating all my food. I mean, I'm like, good night. Like, Caleb, don't stop eating. Oh, I'm like a vacuum. And I'll hide all the food anyway. Well, let me just tell you a funny story, embarrass myself. I was preparing my message on Saturday night. Did you kids give Christina her gift yet? I'm not sure you got your gift yet. But in one of the gifts, Jacob bought Christina some Reese's Pieces. I love Reese's Pieces. I said, "Why are these here?" Rip, draw. Caleb said, "Daddy, that's for Christina." It's good medicine. Vitamin C somewhere in there. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to make you just get excited. But anyway, look, hey. So there was plenty of Reese's Pieces at Walmart. Amen. But so, sorry. I'm sorry. All right. So hey. I'm trying to make the point is we're seeing a little bit of it already. It's only been a couple weeks. Hope this never happens. I pray it never happens. But God forbid this disease lasts 3.5 years. What would happen? 3.5, yeah. You did it right, Kristen. You're absolutely right. 3.5 years, no food because there's no water. It kind of, again, it puts this in perspective a little bit. I believe. Now, life was difficult, there's no doubt about it, and things can get more difficult in the coming months, but listen, God's hand of protection is still evident. For example, look at, I'm not going to have you turn for the sake of time, but this whole James 5:17, you connect that with 1 Kings 17, 18, and 19, that whole drought with Elijah. In 1 Kings 17, verses 5 and 6, when there was no water, God said, "Elijah, go by that brook Cherith. There's water there. And the ravens will sustain you. God took care of them." Then in 1 Kings 17, verses 9 to 16, God protected Elijah. He protected a widow woman at Zarephath. And he protected her son throughout the whole entire drought. Protected. And then continue on. In 1 Kings chapter 18, and we know in 1 Kings 18, verse 1, the Bible says that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in a third year. Now they're 3 years into this drought. Almost done, 3 years, 900 plus days or 1,000 days into this drought. And Elijah's still alive. And yes, God being so good and merciful, he kept Ahab and Jezebel alive. Obadiah, the man of God, he's alive. The prophets of Baal again and again, this, up until the whole thing happened with the standoff there, they're alive. In verse 20 of 1 Kings 18, it says a whole host of Israel is alive. They came to watch this whole standoff between Elijah and the prophets of Baal, and God rained fire down from heaven there. You know that story. In 1 Kings 19, verse 18, 7,000 godly people are still alive because of the drought's over. They made it through all that. My point is, there's plenty of people still going strong. Listen, folks, you cannot stop his hand of protection. What I'm trying to do, to help me, is just get it in your heart and put it in your back pocket, because you might need it. You might want to pull this out. You might want to pull out the issue I mentioned earlier with the disciples doubting Jesus Christ. Peace be still. The entire severe drought, when life was hard and food was scarce, we know that God's hand of protection was evident. I mentioned already, I've been meditating or chewing on that story for the past week. In a hard, hard time of life, God's hand of protection was still there. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things, your food, your clothing, necessities are there. Let me close with this thought and we're done. The message for tonight was entitled An Exercise of Praise, and here's the reason why I titled it that. Exercise is something that's good, very good for us. The Bible says it profiteth little. Yes, there's some profit to it. Very good for us to exercise. Cardiovascular, losing weight, heart health, etc., etc., etc. But we also know that exercise takes character and work. Yet, unfortunately, we wish that we would just lay in our beds and it would work, but it doesn't work that way. You got to purposely get out of your beds, and you got to walk, run, whatever you do. You need to want to exercise if you're going to do it. And I put it like this, and praising God in those difficult elements of nature is something that you have got to want to do, because your flesh does not want to praise. Maybe it's just me sitting by myself saying that. But our flesh, the 12th no good thing, wants to say, God, carest thou not that we perish? Praising God during disease takes character and determination. And hopefully you'll understand that praising, that we can praise God in these times, because even diseases like this are within his control, and we praise him for it. And we can also praise God because God's hand of protection is also very evident in times like these as well, and we also can praise God for that. And like I mentioned on Sunday night, if something happens and God sends signs in his will to send a virus that makes this coronavirus and the flu look like a child's play, we know where we're going. Praise the Lord. This is not home, we're just passing. Friend, we are commanded to praise the Lord. We're commanded to. But we shouldn't do it because we're commanded to. And that's what God desires. He wants us to do it because we want to. He wants our heart. He never forces us, but we are commanded to praise God. I'm not erring the scriptures by saying that. But I believe his desire is for us to desire to praise him. Do it. Praise him because he deserves our praise. And praise him because he is a great, amazing, and wonderful God, even during times like these. I'll echo in closing Psalm 50, verse 6. Psalm 150, verse 6. Everything that hath breath, praise him. I'm praying this is thing just passes through. And it can. I can do that. It'd be gone next week. Now people overreact about everything. But if not, if things get worse and what the doomsday is saying comes true and things escalate, you've got a wonderful Bible to help us. It's not a fictional book. This is reality. It's happened. And we serve a God who's in control of these issues. We serve a God that there's no way his kind of protection can be exceeded. Praise God for the amazing God we serve. Let me ask about that.